Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text we're going to consider are all of the lessons printed out in the bulletin that is put up on the front page of our website. It's for today, Saturday, March 21st. And the texts are all about this notion of pestilence. So, let me read you from a couple of sections. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. And from Jeremiah 21, I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand and with a strong arm, even in anger and fury and great wrath. I will strike the inhabitants of this city, both man and beast. They shall die of a great pestilence. And afterward, says the Lord, I will deliver Zedekiah, king of Judah, his servants and the people, and such as are left in this city from the pestilence and the sword and the famine into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into the hand of their enemies and into the hand of those who seek their life. And he shall strike them with the edge of the sword. He shall not spare them or have pity or mercy. And then from Matthew chapter 24. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows. This is our text. So, the definition of a pestilence by Merriam-Webster is a contagious or infectious epidemic disease that is virulent and devastating. Cambridge Dictionary of English says, any very serious infectious disease that spreads quickly and kills large numbers of people. The Oxford American Dictionary, a fatal epidemic disease. Is that what we're facing today? That is what one of the worship resources set apart for us by the LCMS website is called, Propers for Pestilence. Is this what we are facing? Well, from the definitions that we have above, we certainly seem to be right in the middle of one, doesn't it? A worldwide pestilence. And for all of our pride about technical achievement, transportation, communication, manufacturing, healthcare, the thing we're called to do is shelter in place. Is that it? Really? It seems frustrating because we are told that we can conquer anything. But we know that this is not true. At least when we see the map from John Hopkins on the TV and we watch as the numbers of those infected increase, along with those recovered and those who have perished. We can try to ease the pain by looking at that last figure and perhaps consider the rate of death. Whether it's a tenth of a percent or 1% or 10%. In any case, we know that there are those who are weeping, grieving, and for whom nothing that we have at hand could comfort or have stopped the tragic death of the people they loved. And what do we say? What do we think about this event? This is certainly something like most of us have never seen. But perhaps we have heard or read about it. In fact, you can go out into the cemetery at church and see the results of the influenza pandemic from 1918. Little graves, lots of them. So who's responsible for this? Who can we blame? The Chinese? Donald Trump? Open borders, airplanes, the list can go on. Who takes responsibility for events like this? In earlier days, the church would not spend so much time looking for someone to blame, as if we could have prevented the deaths of many people, as if we could extend the life of men, women, and children by one day, one hour, or even one minute. That idea was something that those older folk might have choked on had they been listening to much of the rhetoric today, the constant, we are strong, we can overcome, ad nauseam, ad infinitum. Rather, the church would have made clear to her members and to the society around her that when these things come, it's a time to gather in repentance. That's what we want to take up today. How do we respond to a pestilence? Throughout the scriptures, a pestilence was a sign that man should be ready to die. The text in the short bulletin for today all give us an indication of what leads to pestilence. In Psalm 91, we find that the world is a dangerous, difficult place in which we need refuge from terror, dangerous, pestilence. These words speak the truth about the world we live in. It's a fallen world. It's a world that is ruined by sin. And from these words of comfort that we find in the 91st Psalm, the devil tried to tempt Christ to jump, to put the Lord to the test. In the same way that a lot of people today look around at events like this and see children die and older folk die, many people dying, and say, well, Lord, couldn't you have fixed this? Why did you allow this if you are good? His words remind us, at least, that is, Jesus' words remind us that we do not need more than the word to protect us. In Jeremiah 21, we find the people of Israel under threat from Nebuchadnezzar, and that because they had forsaken God's word. God promised that judgment would come, the people would be swept away. And he says in this text, in a very severe way, uncharacteristic of what God had said to his people over and over again, instead of fighting for his people, he would fight against them, making Nebuchadnezzar his instruments. And also pestilence his instrument. He uses that term in the Bible about 43 times, and probably close to 30 times between Jeremiah and Ezekiel, those two prophets. And finally, in the gospel lesson, the end times are described when rebellion and sin will seem to explode, and then the Lord says pestilence will come. When man refuses to hear the warning, like Pharaoh, like modern man today, the scripture text makes it clear that it is not something that we can fight and win. Death is in the hands of God. No one will stop it, nor God's instruments and tools to bring it about. Those who are humble and recognize that God is God will turn from sin, repent, even in the midst of a global disaster, a global pandemic, and seek healing, and not the kind of healing that medicine can't seem to achieve today, but true, real healing that gives life, eternal life. If we truly understood science and medicine in a proper way, theologically, all of this would make perfect sense to us. And that is why it was considered by the church, pestilence and such, as a call from God to repentance, to get ready to die. The church cannot control the world the way the world decides to carry on. even though she might have a prophetic role in it, we are called to warn, to call our neighbors to repentance, to be aware that when things go wrong, we are to call all to repentance so that they are ready to die. For there is no one who will stand against the hand of the Lord, against his instruments, whether they be Nebuchadnezzar, a pestilence, or death in any other form. No one will cheat death. It doesn't mean that we should not seek to help, to serve our neighbor, but we recognize that while we may try, God's ways, his intentions, his judgment will not be hindered. And so as the world degenerates, locally or globally, we are reminded that the proper response to events like this is repentance. A proper response is repentance. We call our neighbors to be ready to die even while we seek to serve in love. That is why throughout history, whether during the plague, among the lepers, among the sick, among all of those things you can think of, that's why hospitals were many times built by Christians, orphanages, to take care of those who were suffering from contagious, devastating diseases. The church does not shy away from trying to bring the gospel to all, even in the midst of the worst circumstances, for that is the only cure for death, for pestilence, and for sin. And of course, she does this because her Lord did not shy away from walking into our deadly world, as Martin Franzmann called it, to breathe this air of death that surrounds us, that rises from every corner of the earth, all because of sin. As the world degenerates locally and globally, we gather together to confess our sins, to seek the healing word of the gospel, so that whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. We daily confess our failures to live as we should. We daily confess that we have been caught up. We have become caught up thinking like the world thinks, like men who call upon the world to forsake and set aside the only true healing, the only true refuge that she can have in the midst of epidemics, pandemics, pestilences. Become like men. Well, like one man who even sought to tell Jesus to avoid the cross and death. We confess and we repent and we seek forgiveness and healing for our sin-sick souls so that we can face whatever comes with courage. That is what's characterized the church throughout the ages. With courage and the assurance each day that we are safe, that we are saved, that we are ready to face our Lord. We are ready to die. We know that our times are in God's hands. And so the church speaks at times like this, a message of health and healing, repentance and faith in Christ, life and salvation, gifts to those who desperately need what money, technology, ideology and governmental power cannot give. And so today we respond, desiring health and healing in this time of sickness and death. And the Lord meets us in the midst of the trouble, the pride, and the rejection of his place in this world. And we, as we confess, he is in control, he is the one ruling. We look to him for help, and as the psalmist says, we trust that whatever things go on in this world, his love will prevail in our lives and through our lives, and that we will live in his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness. He will daily and richly forgive us our sins, assuring us that because of Christ, we are safe from all evil. That is what we pray at the end of the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil. There is so much that surrounds us There is so much even listed in Psalm 91. But we have a God, we have a Lord who is greater than sin, death, and the devil, and who will be for us a refuge, a strength, who will be our healing, our all in all in this world. And so we begin this evening with the pestilence and the trouble we see, sickness, isolation, death, financial troubles, and much more. But we face them not isolated and alone, but with the one who promised that we would never be alone, that he would never leave us or forsake us, that nothing would separate us from his love. We stand, we dwell in that secret place under the shadow of our gracious God each and every day until that day when we stand healed, healthy before him and abide in his love eternally. Amen.